Welcome back to the Multipod. We are on episode 44 of our show. We're well into 2019. We're coming down to the end of the year here already. But if you've been joining us for the last few episodes, we're back. It's nice to be back and back in our regular schedule and rhythm, hosting the show and getting to know some more members of the Putty Tribe. So my name's Ted. I'm with you today, and I'm happy to be joined by Sarah.
Hello.
Coming to us live from Madrid. And also with us, our guest today from Calcutta in India is Harsh.
Hey.
Good to have you. Let me think. You are our second guest from India, certainly our first from Calcutta. And I've been there. I'm looking forward to chatting with you a little bit, at least about life in India and sharing some stories. But mostly we wanted to chat with you today to learn a bit more about video gaming. Now, this is a topic for all of us, all those listening. Either your eyes will glaze over when you hear that, or your eyebrows will perk up and you'll be super excited. And maybe we'll bring the former into the group of the latter and get everyone excited, because I know that it is an interesting topic and something that it probably is, well, there's a lot more to it than what you would expect. It's not just kind of sitting around, you know, a bunch of guys sitting around on their couch playing video games and shooting things or whatever else. Like, the video game industry in this day and age is a huge industry, and there's so much to it. Harsh is going to tell us a bit about kind of the mindset, I guess, that goes into, I guess, building a career and a profession within that industry, and some of the things that he's interested in particularly. And of course, we'll try to relate it back to, you know, how does it apply to multi-potentialites, and is it the type of platform and medium that maybe could attract multi-potentialites or not? I mean, this is part of the question here, as we kind of get to know people and the things that they do with their lives and how it applies to everybody. So it's that's our plan here for today for our episode.
I guess we want to get to know a little bit about Harsh. And who are you? Tell us a little bit about you. Give us a little bit of context so we can empathize with you.
So I kind of started, like, classically, I was studying to get into business because that's my kind of background, business. And my family's kind of into business through many different angles. So I was studying for that direction. And I was in line to get into a pretty decent college. And something happened at the end where I decided not to go there because I really didn't, you know, I just didn't want to go into business. I didn't enjoy doing, like, accounts and stuff. It just felt boring to me. It was just the same repetitive task. It kind of was engaging your mind enough so that it couldn't wander, but it wasn't interesting enough where you would be entertained doing it. So something just kind of changed. So I decided to go into game design after that. And game design actually might be an untapped market for multipods, I would think, because it's one of those jobs that, like, you know, rewards you if you do more than one thing, because it's all over the place. You're not hired to be the guy who comes up with the ideas. A game designer, that's what I do, is not the kind of guy who would come up with a story or would come up with, like, a gameplay. We can come up with gameplay, but it's always to answer a question. It can just be that we want to make a game where we are trying to evoke a sense of X, Y, and Z. How do we get there? So a designer is just a person who gets things done in the virtual scape. They're trying to essentially guide your feelings. So yeah, that's what a designer does. And, you know, the more you know about different topics, it helps. There was a game where I feel like I added quite a bit because I knew quite a bit about boxing, and this game was like a VR boxing game, and just bringing back all that information and putting it in there, that was just information I had. So the team kind of gained from my this thing. So that's what I would say. I think game designers are kind of rewarded if they are multi-potentialites, and what I've seen is a lot of them are.
I'm curious if you have any previous experience with games before, and you were a gamer before.
Absolutely. Like, I have been playing games since I was 4 or 5. Like, I remember, like, playing games on my dad's PC, and he would get mad because he initially told me to do something else with it. But I would just go and play with, like, the older games like Doom, Wolfenstein, those id Software games my dad used to be a fan of. And I really was a fan. Like, I didn't really realize that there was a career when I was in school. I used to do these maps and these small playable missions in games like Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, games like that. I would just make these small missions and stuff in high school. And I just did that for fun. But then sometime in college, I decided to kind of make a go for it. But, you know, I'm a fan before I became anything related to like making it. A game designer is just a person who is involved with maybe level design. He is involved with asset creation, with project management. They're essentially doers. They're highly functional, like multipotentialites who are told to be adaptable at like very high speeds.
Do you have to be like in an office setup in order to be able to task your job to make it happen? Or can you do it from, I don't know, traveling around the world?
Depends on the type of job you would have, I'd say. Because, you know, if you want a salary job, it depends on what their like code is. Like some of them can just have like a 9-to-5 job where you actually wear a tie. Other jobs can be where you are working maybe just 4 days and you're doing it from your home and nobody cares what you're wearing as long as you turn in the work. So it just depends on work to work. There's no like standard on how games are developed.
So what are you working on these days? Do you have a particular game on the go?
I'm taking a little bit of time off actually. Like I've kind of been working on games for almost 3 or 4 years now. Like I've made like 60 or 70 mobile games. I don't know. I feel like I just kind of got bored with it. So now I'm trying to make a go and making my attempt at like AAA game development, which was always my goal.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. I read somewhere something you wrote talking about AAA designers. What is that?
AAA game is, I'll tell you what a AAA game is. I think that would be better. AAA game is just a game that has, the general understanding is, has a big budget behind it. Or, and maybe a publisher that is a powerful publisher. That is a AAA game. Like those are the kind of games that are intended to be like blockbusters, games that you would hear of even if you weren't in game development or game playing even. Games like, say, Grand Theft Auto or God of War. Games like those would be what you'd call a AAA game. But yeah, those games are huge and the risk also that comes with it are huge. So I guess the opportunities to get to those places are very sought after, is how I'd put it. Mm-hmm.
And what's it like in India? Is it a huge industry there?
Not really. It's a lot of the industry here is like mobile game development. That's like, I think the majority of the reason, because I've worked around here for a long time. Like that amount of time is pretty huge, but the industry is so limited. Like I feel like I know almost everybody who works in here. And it's not that I have made like a serious attempt to know people. It's just such a small group of people that we just inadvertently know each other.
So if you want to get into more of the AAA level, mm-hmm. will you have to move? Do you have to go to a different country?
I am moving, actually.
Okay.
So I am moving to Vancouver in January. So that's
How about that? Yeah, I lived in Vancouver for about a year and a half. Vanessa did too. She couldn't join us today, but she just spent years in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's great. And I remember that's a big thing. I mean, Vancouver is really big for the film industry and the gaming industry. There's a big EA Sports studio there. It's well known for that. I think there's some others as well. But that's, I would say for me at least, that's kind of been where I've observed and maybe learned what I have learned about the industry is just being there. It's such a big thing. You meet so many people who work in it. It kind of pervades the whole culture experience of being around Vancouver. As you hear so much about films and you hear so much about games. It's mm-hmm. a big thing there. So that's a great place to be based out of for sure.
I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah.
I see these days that the game industry is becoming bigger and bigger, not only because technologies are evolving, and gaming is becoming a huge part of those technologies in terms of virtual reality, augmented reality. And it's also like a lot of disciplines are incorporating gaming into their systems in order to educate for education is being used more and more. Game is an experience and that you're looking forward to have fun with, no? And everything that kind of takes us out of our reality and involves us in something that it's fun and has nothing to do with our day-to-day becomes something more interesting.
I think that is like the most powerful part of video games, the escapism part of it, where you are not thinking about your present. Like I remember seeing a post where like video games were like very successful for people with burn victims. Basically, games were so engaging that people like for once stopped feeling pain and me just concentrating on the game.
I want to. How do you feel about the impact of this kind of escapism on people, on society? You know, it's like I've always struggled with that when I think about gaming, because maybe I know myself and that I can so easily get hooked in. I don't think I've really binged on a game for about 4 years. The last one I remember really getting into was a Wolfenstein game, The New Order, I think.
Yeah,
and I was interested. Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, that's the thing. I was interested in it because it was kind of a historical recreationist kind of thing. I was interested in that angle. And like, it was the whole plot is like, imagine if basically the Nazis had won the Second World War, right? And what the world would have turned into. And then you get to dive into that world. And of course, there's lots of violence and everything to go with it. But I kind of, aside from that, I was more interested in the historical kind of recreationist aspect. And I just played and played and played, you know, and it took so many hours and I wanted to always get back to it when you had to finally shut it off at like 2 a.m. And like, you know, I don't like something that kind of takes over my brain so much and that I get so obsessed with. And that's just me. And I've purposely avoided playing any games really since then, because I know that I'll either get sucked in or I'll be frustrated that I don't have time to play it. And that's my perspective. But I'm wondering what you think. I mean, maybe for yourself or just in general, people you observe, like what does it do to us if we get so absorbed in something that is, you know, that is a fantasy that's obviously recreated, it's digital and all the rest. And how do we find that balance between trying to enjoy it and have fun, but, you know, keep you a good solid foot in reality as well with our day-to-day lives, right?
I really wouldn't know, because that seems... The part where you said you're frustrated that you can't play a game, that's basically been, you know, a lot of people who make games have experienced also. I don't think we get time to play games anymore. We just make them. But yeah, I definitely get what you're saying. Like, how do you kind of maintain a sense of reality when there is escapism? I wouldn't know the answer to that. For me, at least, there was a period in my life where I would be by purchasing the game the day it released online, downloading it and completing it the day it was released within 24 hours. And there was like a good year and a half stretch in like high school, like near the maybe 2 years before the high school ended, where I did just go in deep as, but I don't do that anymore. Like when you think about, I'm pretty sure it's different for different people, but I'm not really sure what addiction and video games have in together. Like there's certain evidence that kind of points to very strong evidence it being there and certain that doesn't. But, you know, there's definitely needs to be research. Although I don't really think it's harmful, so to speak. But, you know, I don't know about gambling games. I didn't play too many of them together. But I guess that having addiction be an issue there might be a problem later on for people, especially for a game that's designed to make you feel those rushes that you feel when you put more escapism in.
Sure. Well, I think as much as anything, it's a test for people to see if they can find that balance. You know, it's great to enjoy something, but I mean, you presumably have to work and have other responsibilities in your life, right? And it's a challenge for people to find that balance. And I don't know, maybe some people are better at it than others, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I was fascinated too, I guess, as time goes by, the years go by, and it's like gaming was kind of like a millennial thing. And millennials are getting older in their 30s and even close to 40s and stuff. And yet I hear people of my age, I'm late 30s, and you know, talking about gaming. And they have now, they're, of course, they have whatever, they have their own house, right? They can have like a gaming room. They have the money to be able to buy a big screen TV and the latest system and all this kind of stuff, right? A whole lot of surround sound, the stuff you can only dream about when you're a teenager in your parents' basement, right? And now you have, like, you're growing up, you have got lots of money, you can do these things, even if, I guess, even if you have like kids and other responsibilities, but you can make that choice to have those things. So therefore, the industry caters just as much, if not more, to those people who have the money and the resources to invest in these kinds of things. And you get the games and the whole experiences, the virtual reality helmets and stuff like this, right, that come out that are marketed and geared towards people that are older, that are adults, who you would kind of think otherwise would have long moved on and forgotten about all that kind of stuff they did when they were a kid, right? But they've kept it with them. And it's, I don't know, it's interesting to see how that industry becomes more sophisticated as a result, to present something that's more kind of for adults as opposed to just like the old little kind of simple games for kids, you know?
I mean, like, if you see AAA like blockbusters, I don't think any one of them would be below 16, and most of them will be like above 18. So clearly there is like a market for people who are like adults and who play these kind of games. But yeah, I feel like it just has to be treated like entertainment. Some people might play games a lot. I'm not one of them, but like some people might get a lot of time to play games and they might build up a nice kind of collection around it. It's kind of similar to maybe if somebody gets really into movies and they allot a bigger chunk of their, you know, expenditure into that. But yeah, it just depends, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we were chatting a bit before we started, but before we started recording, about whether gaming is a positive or a negative thing for multi-potentialites, in that you were telling us, Harsh, that, you know, as you get more into your career in the industry, like, you can easily get forced into kind of a specific path or focus, and that you learn how to do something and you become more experienced and good at it. And suddenly that's the only thing that people want you to do because that's what you're good at, right? And that sounds like something that multipods would like recoil and resist, because we don't want to be forced into doing one thing.
I think multipods would be like least at the risk for, because the other thing that you want to do, like, it's, I remember when, I think it was Sarah who said that, but a lot of disciplines come into games, and like, because we work with teams that are so different from like us in every way, like, I can be a designer, but I can work with a tattoo artist the next day because we really like how her art style complements the gameplay we have. And we have to be able to work there through all of our differences, whatever they might be. But I think game development, more than anything else, is a field where expertise is welcome, where we allow others, if they have knowledge on a subject, to come in and do it. So for multipotentialites, what can happen is, if you can learn something else, that you can perhaps go into the studio and say, hey, I've learned this thing over here and I want to try out helping in the studio. I feel like a lot of times studios will give you a chance, perhaps not with something major, but they will start giving you chances in that other thing. So you can actually be a game designer in a company for like decades and still just move around to have different works and jobs anywhere.
Well, that's cool. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. How does one get into the industry? Do you really have to have a coding kind of background, or could you come at it as maybe from a script writing point of view, or story development, you know, or something, or music maybe, or something like that?
You will have to make a game. Now, this statement isn't as scary as it might seem like on the surface. If you say to somebody that I am an artist and I want to work as an artist, they will ask, where is your painting or drawing or whatever piece of art that you've made? That's the same with games. Generally, you start getting calls and offers through, you know, whatever job website. You have to put these portfolios into those places, but you need to make a game. Now, my best advice to somebody who would like to get into games, does not know anything about coding, does not know anything about art or design or any of those things, learn one of those things. Try picking up a subject that is, you would feel comfortable with. So somebody might be saying that I could do programming because I have X, Y, and Z experience that is similar, or I can do art because I like doing art. or I feel like I can be good at managing but also doing something creative while not really sure what my job is and have a hard time explaining it to everyone, and then they can become game designers. But yeah, you choose one of these subjects, and then I'm actually putting together like a list, and I'll put this out on PuttyTry once it's done, where it's just a list of free resources based on what you've chosen your field to be. It can be art, design, or programming. But once you're there, once you've gotten to the point where you're certain that you can make a few simple games just for practice, once you're there that you can make a game, but you're maybe, let's say, a programmer or just a designer or just an artist, and you have only learned that one skill, what you can do at that stage is go to game jam events. There's one called the Ludum Dare, and that happens like a few times a year, and it's pretty famous. So what you do is you go there. There are teams you can join. So teams can be people who are maybe a few coders, an artist, and maybe if you are like a designer, they'll have you in their team. Then you kind of collaborate and you make a game with them. Now, something to keep in mind is that these teams will work for free and you will work for free with them. There's no monetary gain. You can make some amazing things with it, but keep in mind that people there are amateurs. So you will have some growing pains of amateurishness. But once you have a good game that comes out of like your amateur circuit, as I would say, you can use that as like a live example that you took a game from conception to finish, and then that can help you land jobs. You can try it out, but I feel like the workload is huge, and game developers, I don't think, like, try to hide the part either. Like, it gets hectic if you really get into proper game development, one where you're like paid and stuff. And my advice for if you are at that stage is focus on one thing at a time. Just get it out. Don't think about the whole workload. Hmm.
So what has been your experience as a multi-potentialite working in the gaming industry? Do you feel it gives you space to expand on your interests and pursue the things that you love?
I think the most rewarding thing is just, you know, the people you get to meet. Because you'll be meeting people from just wildly different perspectives. It was a professor of mine in college who said that the most important skill that you can have as a designer is communication, because you are going to make people who are from wildly different perspectives and walks of life see the same problem and work towards like a common goal.
What brought you to the Putty Tribe too?
I think it wasn't through reference. I remember going through, I think I watched a video by an artist on YouTube who I really like. He makes these like insane 3D models and projects, and he kind of mentioned the tribe as in reverence. I couldn't find him here. I thought he would be a member, but he talked about the tribe and said that it's something you'd be interested in if you're doing multiple projects and need some kind of, I guess, a guidance if you want to keep on track of everything. So that's how I kind of got to know of it. And I'm always kind of in the process of wanting to meet people who do things like very different from what I do. It's very interesting because I feel like I learn a lot from those artists.
Yeah, and and that was just this past, in the middle of this year, around June or so, that they joined the Putty Tribe, right?
Yeah, very recently.
Okay.
So I want to know, what has been your biggest challenge in the game industry and how did you overcome it?
I'm in the process of overcoming it. So maybe that I can give you the answer of something I'm attempting at the moment. But I feel like you have to be in the major cities where game development happens. Anything outside of that is places where it's not the focus. And if you are unhappy with the job you're working in, there is not much of an option to change and move to different places. But you need to be in, like, I feel like a major city for you to be working in active game development. And I think the biggest challenge was that when I started, I was very slow and not very good. So, and the way I overcame it was just, you know, keep doing it and suddenly it gets easier.
Would you say that is like a closed industry in a way?
Not really. It's not closed. It's just something. It's not a closed industry, actually. Like, there's no real closure to it. The information is pretty easily available. The tools are available also. I'll tell you what. Why don't both of you tell me one aspect of game development that you would be interested in? And I can tell you exactly the tools and resources you would need to start learning that now.
Okay, good. I like that. Ivy, if I was to get into gaming industry, game design, I would be interested in the story side of it, the plot and the character development.
Okay, there are a few books. I'll send you those books. But like off the top of my head, I think the first book you should definitely have a read at is Designing Games, A Guide to Engineering Experiences by Tinian Sylvester. Type this up and send it to you later. But I think that is the one book you should read if you're trying to get into game design. It teaches you like every, like you have to kind of, it's not just about writing. If you are a fantastic writer, that certainly helps. But you need to understand the medium a little bit. And that book, I think, is the most concise, unpretentious way I've come across of doing that thing.
Hmm. Okay. We'll add that to our show notes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Harsh.
You tell me.
What about you?
Are you interested?
Well, I never kind of really grow up with games at all in my house because my father said that if he buys a game, he will get addicted, and he couldn't get addicted. So none of my brothers or I ever had like a big contact with games. But when phones came in and smartphones came in, one game that has always caught my attention, and that will be the only game that I was like couldn't leave my eyes out of the screen. I don't know if you know this game called Monument Valley. And it kind of brings up all of these weird designs by artists and worlds, and I feel it kind of relates a lot also to sacred geometry. And through the challenges of the different buildings and worlds, you encounter these persons that have the, how do you say, the knowledge, like sabios. I don't know how to say it in English.
Crows and people, because that's, I think there were crows in that game.
Yes, but those are just the visual, the form, the shapes of the characters.
I'm getting what part of the game is exciting you, though. I think it's the M.C. Escher style like game design, where the shapes are not exactly what they seem, and your perspective is all that matters.
Yes, but also you are receiving like more spiritual knowledge, philosophical knowledge. No, they are as soon as you go and you pass the challenge, you are looking for knowledge to grow yourself. You know, it's not like the reward of just winning. It's like, I'm looking forward to learn something.
Hmm. Yeah.
That sounds pretty worthwhile.
The developers of Monument Valley did do a talk on how they achieved the things they did. So I think you'd be really interested in that.
Well, thank you. I'll take it.
Cool. Well, Harsh does have a website, and we'll put in our show notes. It is a little, it's a Wix site. It's kind of a long address, but it's really nice. And we'll give you the link. So he talks about some of his background and experience, but also there's some examples of some of the games here that you have designed. There's something called Free Fall, Flicker, Record Rage, Intense Security. Can you tell us a bit about some of these projects? Like, are they all kind of different stories and different kinds of designs, or are there fairly similar themes to them?
A lot of those games are pretty old now, but I still kind of keep them on there. But yeah, those games are fairly old. But yeah, there are different games. Like some of them are 2D. There are a few 3D games in there. There is a narrative game, then there is a puzzle game. But yeah, I've done games like this. These are just the odd ones that I can show because I did them like on my own time.
It was cool to watch, so definitely.
Yeah.
You should share it.
So you're on your way to Vancouver before too long? Are you moving like in the next few months kind of thing?
Yeah, before 2020. Like I'm literally moving on the last day of 2019. And because time zones are weird, I will be in Vancouver the last day of 2019. So
yeah, nice.
Looking forward to that. That 14-hour flight sounds fun.
How long will you be there?
Let's see. Initially, I'm planning like a year and a half, mm-hmm. and we'll see where it goes from there.
Do you have something lined up already? Like a job or something? Yeah.
Yeah, I have some. I have like classes.
Okay. Well, that's great. Well, we certainly wish you all the best at your new pursuit. And I mean, it's pretty cool to be talking to someone live here from India, but it'll also be nice to have you a little bit closer. But it's exciting to hear what you're up to and pursuing the next stage of your career. So thanks so much for joining us here today, Harsh.
Thank you so much for having me. It was indeed pretty fun.
Thank you very much also for sharing all your knowledge about gaming and the game industry. I've learned definitely today a lot about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fun. Like, I'm just hoping that, you know, more people play video games because they're fun. And good video games.
That's right.
Bad ones exist.
Good ones. We don't want to waste our time. They got to be good.
Yeah, for sure.
My pleasure having been here. Thanks.
Bye, Harsh.
Bye.
Well, did you learn something about gaming then today?
Oh, definitely. a lot, actually. Well, I kind of know a little bit about the industry, but it's a very unknown industry for me, at least. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I just kind of grasped bits and pieces of it before and a little bit more now. It still seems so big, it's kind of overwhelming to think about how they put these incredibly detailed games together, you know, but... Harsh there, you had some good advice. Just obviously you start somewhere, you start with something simple and basic, and I'm sure it's kind of like when you're doing a film, you're learning about how to create film, like a movie, and you know, just to do a 10 or 15 minute short film takes hours probably to produce, right, and all the various parts put together. So I'm sure it's a similar thing with a simple little game, but you start somewhere and that gives you the experience and a bit of a portfolio. And then away you go. And yeah, it's interesting to hear he's putting himself in the right position to get more access, moving to a place like Vancouver, where there is certainly a lot of the industry there. It's kind of what you got to do. And you know, a lot of people and multi-potentialites included face those kinds of choices of you gotta put yourself in the place where opportunities exist to make things happen.
Yeah, and Harsh's story is, I feel that it's inspiring in terms like it can't be related in any other thing that you want to do. Once you have cleared up what you want to devote yourself and you go and pursue it. And it takes work and hard work and a lot of commitment. And you know, that's the way to go. Even though we as multi-potentialites have many interests, when we definitely want to try something out, we need to go for it. We cannot doubt, we cannot hesitate. Yeah. We need to clear our minds. And
now here's a question for you. Do you ever feel the opposite? If an interest, something comes up and someone tries to convince you, or you consider, you can see how it could be interesting, but you're not interested for whatever reason. And so you don't give it any attention at all. I kind of feel that way about gaming. His passion inspires me a bit, but I'm learning about the stuff he's saying, right? Like, that's cool. And I get it. It's interesting. I know I'm not going to be like learning much more about it. Like, I mean, it's tempting to go down that rabbit hole, I suppose, but I have way too many things that are a bigger priority, really. So,
yeah.
So we'll, keep mining the Putty tribe to see who we can have on our next show.
Don't forget that we are super open to have new editors or hosts, or we don't only want to meet new people here and show them to you, but also to have you as our group, as our community, as our, I don't know, do you want to experiment with radio or with podcasting? Just
yep.
Write us.
This is the chance to do it. Yep. Great. So hopefully I'll talk to you next time around. Vanessa might be back as well, or who knows, maybe another guest host, but we'll catch up again in a couple of weeks.
Sure. sure. For sure.